A lot of people have gone further than they thought they could because someone else thought they could. What's up? I'm Chloe Elam. This is the Be the Model podcast, where we highlight the footsteps that you've laid out in front of the eyes that are watching you, wanting to be just like you, trying to figure out the steps that you've taken to become successful. Sometimes the only way to make sure that something happens is to be the reason that it does. You got to be the model. Let's start the show. Hey guys, what's up? I'm your host, Chloe Elam, and this is the Be the Model podcast. I'm so happy for all of you to join me. Really quick, if you haven't subscribed to the Be the Model podcast on Apple Podcast, then I'm just asking that you shoot over there, subscribe, leave a review, and even share it on your social media if you don't mind. So usually on this podcast, I have guests to come on here and share how they choose to be the model, what they kind of have going on in their life and or in their careers, and what they are wanting to do so that other people can model after what they, you know, see them doing, or maybe, you know, that person wants to be just like them and they just kind of want to know the steps, want to know the road, how hard it's going to be, you know, just trying to prepare them for being the next them, if that makes sense. And so today I'm actually going to be on here briefly, just me. Yay, I know y'all are excited, like, yeah, it's just her voice. I'm just kidding. But no, it's just going to be me today, and then I'm going to jump back into next week dropping in guests to continue to share how they choose to be the model. But I kind of wanted to break down something that I've been thinking about for, I guess, like a week now. Last week, I was in Maryland hanging out with some friends of mine that moved there from Kentucky. And so I really didn't put out an episode, even though I had some pre-recorded. I didn't put them out because I was up there really, you know, just having a good time, but also using that time to have conversations with people who are kind of like my mentors. And so because of that, I did a lot of things, you know, taking a few little notes of things that just I wanted to talk about when I got back on this episode. And so today I kind of wanted to talk about the whole be the model thing, but actually what I hope people are getting from it, or what kind of inspired me to even want to pop off with this whole be the model thing. And I wanted to clarify a little bit more about be the model, because I know when people hear that, they, you know, you automatically can assume that I, you know, am out searching, or I'm talking about just doing stuff in a positive light to be better, and, you know, to be able to share stuff with other people so that when they model after you, they're not modeling after negative or bad behaviors, but you actually are setting examples for them that are worth them modeling, after, and that is going to help them be successful in the journey that they're trying to take in their life, which is absolutely right. But what I kind of wanted to sit and talk about today is the whole idea of people forgetting that in our day-to-day lives, there are people who are looking at you regardless if you are trying to be a model or not. It doesn't matter if it's something positive, if it's something negative, if you're always showing bad behaviors, if you always have a bad attitude. It doesn't matter what you are doing. There is somebody somewhere who is watching you and picking up things that they see you do, and then they're emulating them in their day-to-day life. Most of the time, I guess it kind of starts when we're kids, and, you know, we look at our parents, or you look at your guardian, for kind of that leadership role, or that mentoring role, and you model after everything that they do. Most of the time, on purpose, we model after all of the things that we like. It is not on purpose when we pick up showing our emotions through our facial expressions, or not being able to explain how we feel, or always being angry, or picking up bad habits, you know, always, I really just lost it. That's funny. But what I'm saying is that we as human beings, and we don't even have to be really little, because sometimes as adults, we do this as well. I do it as well. We pick out the things that we like about people, and we automatically grab those things and add them to our life because we feel like they're going to help us. And without even knowing, we also kind of pick up bad habits from people, especially that we're around a lot or that we have to interact with even at work sometimes, people who get on our nerves. You know, a lot, it's easy for us to pick up the bad or the negative energy. I guess it's better to say that it's easy for us to pick up negative energy from people that we are always around, especially when we have to show off a persona of ours that is not really us, but because they get on our nerves so much, we put on this fake thing of, you know, I'm gonna be mad when I'm around them because maybe that'll help them not talk to me. And so I just wanted to kind of go back and highlight and let you guys know that somebody is always trying to model after something that you are doing. That's not to say that, you know, we have to walk around trying to be perfect all the time, but it's kind of to bring attention to the fact that there is people who want to be you. There is people who want to be me. There's people who pick up my bad habits and people who pick up my positive energy as well. But they do the same thing for you. And I think about this a lot because, I serve as an assistant basketball coach for girls, and I'm really big on, trying to be a good mentor to the young girls that are around me so that if they already don't have one, I can kind of be setting examples that will show them and push them, one, into their purpose, letting them know that it is capable for them to do it, but two, also allow them to see something positive within me while I'm young. I guess I can kind of say I'm still young, so that they can know that it can be done. I think a lot of times young girls and young people in general, they don't think that it's okay to be one way because most of their peers are another way, or they feel like that their peers are, you know, going to crack jokes or going to make fun of them because they choose to have these standards and, you know, walk upright, if I can use that phrase. And so I just kind of wanted to throw that out there, that people are looking at you, they're wanting to be just like you, and you're setting examples for people. And a lot of times it's people that you don't even know that are looking at you, that are like, I love what they're doing, or they're looking at you and they're picking up your bad behaviors, and they're going to run with those because if they don't have anybody that's telling them, no, you shouldn't be doing this, or no, you probably shouldn't, you shouldn't respond to that action with this action that you're trying to respond to because it's nothing but negativity, then they're going to keep on doing that until someone comes in and shows them something different or breaks down some things for them. So today, on this episode, I briefly wanted to talk about mentors, because I feel like that modeling and mentors are really not the same thing. I think that when you are choosing to model something for somebody, you're setting these examples for them to see, but you're really not giving them all the access or the tools or taking out time, you know, every day or every week to show those people that you know who are looking at you that, hey, this is how you're going to do it, or this is a way that you can do it. This is the road that I took. And so on this podcast, I am taking the opportunity to let people share their stories in different careers, that are, you know, parents who have, you know, left their careers to be parents, or are parents and getting back into their career, or just people in general who have careers who deal with a lot of people, just so they can kind of say, you know, like, this is how I model my everyday life, and I'm okay with people coming behind me or in front of me trying to do that. I'm okay with people coming up asking me, you know, my story and how I did it. And so I like to share that. But what I don't want you to miss is that because you see someone setting good examples, and they're modeling those good examples, doesn't always mean that that person should be your mentor. I think when you take on being someone's mentor, you're taking on a whole different task. You're taking on holding them accountable. You're taking on being accountable yourself, making sure that, you know, I'm not going to say 90% of the time, but that when you tell them, yes, I love to mentor you, that when they call you, you're going to be able to answer. You're going to be able to give them, you know, the ins and outs and perks and things of that they're looking for, that they're needing. You're going to be able to tell them no. You're going to be able to explain to them why you think that they shouldn't be able or that they shouldn't do this, and be able to give them some solid information that is going to move them past the point of just being average. Is actually going to take them over so that they can do the things that one, God has called them to do, but two, that they didn't even believe they could do in the first place. And so I was looking at, you know, different things about mentors and things of that nature. And I found this article that I wanted to quickly share with you all and kind of throw my input in on it. But at the same time, I thought it was really, really, it had a lot of good information. It was very informative about this whole thing of mentors. And so it says how to find a mentor in 10 not so easy steps. So I kind of wanted to share this with my listeners that are looking, you know, for someone to mentor them. They're looking for someone to be there, someone to show great leadership, someone that they can model after, but also that they are in relation with to help them become what they're trying to become, or just even be better, to move them up the ladder a little bit more. And so I wanted to share this really quick today on this episode with you all, because it talks about, you know, most people misunderstand mentoring. And for the longest time, it says, for the longest time, I said I wanted a mentor, but didn't understand what that even meant. That is, until someone pulled me aside, invested in me, and taught me what a mentor really was. And I think that that is really important, because I think a lot of us is like, you know, I want a mentor, but we think we're just going to model after all of the good stuff that they show us. And we don't really try to take the steps to find out who that person is, or do I like this about them? Do I like the fact that when they tell me no, they're not just saying that because they want to shorten our conversation. They actually are saying that because they have some solid information coming behind that is going to show me how, if I do that, I'm actually going to be taking steps backwards instead of taking steps forward. So, I'm going to read this really quick. It says the common misconceptions of mentoring is, I have a passion to see that change. There's a lot of misunderstanding about how mentoring works, including how to begin a relationship with a mentor. Here are some of them. So some of the things that are misconceptions of mentoring is, one, mentoring is about me. People think that mentoring is only about them. Two, I need to wait for a mentor to find me. They don't think that they can go out and say, hey, like, I'm trying to do X, Y, and Z. I see that, you know, we kind of have things in common, and I wanted to know if you could mentor me in this way. They think the person is supposed to come and find them, which is definitely most of the time not going to happen. Three, being mentored is more passive than active. And so they think that they are just, you know, they don't have to do a lot. They just got to watch and, you know, kind of take here and there and kind of sit back, and the mentor is going to give them everything they need, going to show them how to do it without them doing anything, going to tell them you do this, 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 and that, and you'll be successful. And then four, I need to ask someone to mentor me up front. Meaning that as soon as you walk up to the person, you're like, hey, I want you to mentor me, and not really trying to find out who that person are. Those are the misconceptions of mentoring. And so everything you know about mentoring, it actually may be wrong. So in this article, they go on to list 10 things that you should do. And I'm not going to go into detail with every single one of them, but I think some of them are self-explanatory. But I wanted to highlight these things because I thought they were great, and they kind of helped me and what I'm trying to do myself and building a better relationship with my mentor. So it says, number one, find someone you want to be like. And I suggest that you all grab a piece of paper and just write these things down. And I'll put where I got this article from. down in the show notes, and I'll also reference it at the end of this, so maybe you can go and look for it yourself. But number one says, find someone you want to be like. And then they go on to say, don't just find someone who has a job you want or a platform that you covet. Find someone that is like you, someone with a similar set of strengths and skills you want to emulate. Otherwise, you'll just end up frustrated. Spend some time finding the right person. In fact, have several candidates before committing to a single mentor. So what they're saying is that, yes, there's people that you're around that you love everything about them. You see all the good. You can notice some of the bad, but really what happens is that we see all the good that they have going on. It's like everything that they touch turns to gold. Everything that they say they want, they get. Everything that they say they're going to work for, they're going to have, it's going to happen. You see it flourish, but sometimes you really don't know what's going on in the background because you really haven't tried to get to know them. Or you know, make yourself a list of, okay, I like that they do this, but I also don't like that they do that. And you can't do that if you're really not trying to get to know the person past all the good that you see. So number two, it says study the person, which I guess I kind of just broke that down on my own. But it says, like, if they have a blog, follow that, follow their Instagram, follow their Twitter. Look at the people that they are following as well to kind of see, okay, yes, they're giving out all this good information, but why are they following people who is putting out stuff that it doesn't even seem like they would believe in, or is that totally against everything that they're trying to show me, or they're telling me, or that they're giving out to social media. It says, get to know the people who know them. So, like, in that is what it's saying is that you see this person and you're following them, but you also notice people who are always referencing them, who's always around them. Kind of get to know them, because then you're able to get, you know, kind of what they feel or how they think about that person. So you're not just going based off of yourself, which you know nothing about them. You're actually going off of people that they spend time with. It says, if you don't know the person well, see if he is really like his public persona projects. Make sure you understand his strengths and his weaknesses. Set your expectations realistically. Number three says, make the ask. Don't ask for the person to be your mentor right off the bat. That's a big ask. Far too big for the first meeting. Rather, like, you know, ask them to go out, have coffee with you, meet you at Barnes & Noble. Can we sit, you know, have a donut or breakfast, or, you know, I want to talk to you, you know, about this book. See what you kind of think. Can we meet there? Or just, you know, a sitting. I'm exercising every morning, going for walks for 20 minutes. Do you mind coming along with me? You know, introduce them into your life doing something, you know, that's informal. Pretty much the things that I listed. Try to keep it less than, you know, an hour, especially if you don't know this person. You just want to kind of spend a little bit of time before you just jump in and say, hey, can you be my mentor? Like, I really need a mentor, because everything that I'm doing, you know, is falling off. Where I need a mentor. You want to get you somebody that is solid. And don't feel like that you're trying to take. You actually have some stuff that you're able to give as well. It says, come with questions that you have prepared to ask, but let the conversation flow relationally. Like, let, you know, let just have a normal conversation is basically what they're saying. Don't just pop off with, can you be my mentor? I need you to be my mentor, because if you do, you know, you don't want to just pretty much call them in and let them know that I'm really just trying to get from you. I ain't really trying to have a relationship with you. I'm just trying to get. And so, where was I at? I'm sorry, guys. Okay. So it says, when in doubt about when to make the ask, just go for it. So what it basically is saying is, like, after you spent, you know, 20 minutes sitting down over coffee, laughing, talking, just having a normal conversation, and you feel like you don't really know what you want to say or how to ask them, it's kind of awkward. Like, who do I ask them now? In that moment, just ask them, is pretty much what they're saying. Number four is evaluate the fruit. I love this one. I think this is my favorite, probably because of my relationship with Christ and how I know that the fruit is kind of always going to show you what the seed was actually doing, I guess you could say, while it was in the ground. Was it getting enough water? Was it absorbing? Was it taking the things that it needed to take from other people? Is it using it in the right way? That now that it's a whole fruit, is it ripe? Is it good? Like, evaluate, weigh the fruit. It says, after the meeting, do you want to spend more time with the person? After hanging out with them, you should be able to tell, I want to sit down with that person again and have a conversation. I think they would be a great mentor to me. Or you should kind of be able to say, everything that I see on social media ain't real, just by the way that, you know, that person act, or everything that I see with my own eyes from a distance from that person is something that I really don't need in my life because I didn't like the way they act. I didn't like the vibe. And sometimes it's just that person is still a great and a good person, but they're just not the mentor for you. It said, did she begin the meeting by encouraging you or telling you what to do? Did she ask questions or wait for you to provide answers? Did you leave the meeting feeling better about yourself? Was a connection made? If not, feel free to let the relationship go and seek out someone else instead. You don't have time to waste on a self-centered, I'm going to say person. It's not what it says, but I'm going to say person. It says, if it went well, then immediately put together a follow-up plan. If you like sitting down with that person, if you like their energy, if you like their vibe, their spirit that came off to you, if you feel like that person is really about to help you grow, and you also feel like there's some stuff in you that you're able to give back, that you're going to be able to express yourself, but also take them expressing their self or giving you criticism, then follow up. Have a follow-up plan immediately for that person, because I'm sure you're not the only person that wants that person to be their mentor. Number 5 says, follow up after that meeting. So we kind of just talked about that. It's not like dating or any of that. It's okay to appear overly ambitious. You want this person to know that you are serious. You want them to know that the time that they're going to be spending with you, you're going to take it serious. You're going to mark it on your calendar so that nothing else overlaps or interferes or comes up. And it's appropriate to follow up immediately. And then thanking that person for taking the time out to try and mentor you. A good way to do this is via email, or other form of passive communication, so that you don't appear overbearing or waste a person's time. So you could just hit them up in an email saying, thank you for, spending, the 30 minutes with me over coffee today. I really enjoyed, sitting down with you and talking about the things that I'm trying to do, but also hearing what you're doing and how you did it. I know you didn't have to share that with me, but I'm grateful that you did. And I'm excited because I feel like that we have connected for a good reason, and I would love for you to be my mentor. I wanted to know if that's something that you're willing to do. Just something short and simple like that. Make sure it feels relaxed and that it's not, too much, and that it's kind of straight to the point for each of you. Number 6 says, let the relationship evolve organically. We sometimes place too high of expectations on mentoring. We want to give it a name because it gives us a sense of status and importance, but really it's just a relationship. Mentoring is organic. It's healthy to let it grow like any other relationship over time and based on mutual respect and trust. That's something that I love that they said, because I feel like that you have to have respect for the person that is mentoring you. You can't just decide that, okay, this is my mentor. They helped me out with everything. I'm going through this hard time and it is 12 midnight and I don't have anybody else to call, or I don't have anyone else that's going to give me the right advice. Because they're my mentor, I'm calling them now. I don't care that they have a wife, or I don't care that they have a husband. I don't care that they have kids. They got to go to school the next day. I'm hurting. I'm mad. I need to figure out how I'm going to get this done, if it's a project or anything, before tomorrow, because something just went wrong. You kind of have to have enough respect to wait until an appropriate time to call them. And then you also got to build trust. It's important to build trust with all kind of relationships. I feel like if you don't have that, then eventually that relationship is going to fall over the wayside. So number 7 says, don't check out when you feel challenged. This is a big thing for me, and it's something that I'm learning while I'm coaching, but also in my day-to-day life, because I have a tendency to check out not when I feel challenged by anything. And I've said this before, so you guys probably already know, but when I feel challenged by fear, when fear feel like that it is overpowering everything that I've planned, or it is overpowering the way that I have seen stuff supposed to unfold, or when it just feels like it's going to take over everything that I'm already in the middle of, I kind of like become like a hermit crab that is outside of his shell. I immediately go in where no one can see me, and I kind of check out. And so I'm working on that as well. So if any of you all have any great tips for any of that, listen, hit me up. I would greatly appreciate it. But I also like the challenge that I get when I'm around 25 to 30 young ladies Monday through Friday, just about. And when you see them ready to check out because you're pushing them so hard with the sport, or pushing them in the classroom, or pushing them in, you know, projects that they have coming up, and you just know that they feel like they can't do it. I love being, I guess, in that moment to be the person to tell them, listen, you can get through this, or you can get over this, or the mountain may seem very, very high, but let's look at the perspective of where you're looking from. Are you looking down, not realizing where you're at on the mountain, and then looking up like, oh my gosh, you know, it's not that far? Or are you in the middle of the mountain, but still looking down as if you're at the bottom? And so now it seems like the top, you know, is further, you're never going to make it. I like to be there in that moment to push them so they don't check out just because a challenge is there. So it says, I was recently speaking with a friend who's mentored a number of young men over the years. He said the saddest part about what he does is that a lot of guys check out whenever he challenges them. It will happen. You'll get to the point where your mentor will feel comfortable enough to call you out. And what you do next is crucial to your growth. Remember, this is what you signed up for. Don't wimp out when it gets tough. This is where the really good stuff happens. I just love that. I love evaluate your fruit. I guess I didn't really let this one sink in because I sometimes check out, but I just love the fact that in those few little sentences, they called it what it was. Don't wimp out. I don't care what it is that's going on in your life. It may not even be like, we can X off you, it being in your relationship with your mentor. It may just be day-to-day life when challenges appear to, and they're almost about to tackle or take out what you've always wanted to do. Don't give up. And I'm speaking to myself as well. Don't give out, and don't sit down and quit on yourself. No matter what it is that you have to do to get there, to overcome, choose to be the model in that moment for yourself. Choose to set some examples, that in that moment, 5 minutes down the road, you can look back and say, hey, I'm glad that I did that. I'll be able to share with somebody how I chose in that moment not to quit, not to give up. I think that's very important. So really, I'm going to say it again because I want y'all to get it. Don't check out when you feel challenged. A lot of our dreams don't come to pass, not because we don't have what it takes, not because God hasn't put us in the right place, not because we don't have the right people around us, not because we don't have enough money. A lot of the times they don't come to pass because we check out. We feel challenged, we feel fear, we feel pressure, it's too much, we've never seen it modeled, and we don't really look at the fact that maybe we have to be the first person to do it. I hear a lot of people always say, I'm the first person in my family to graduate college, and those people didn't check out. They didn't, I'm sure they was challenged with that. It's a challenge alone to know that you are, you know, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th generation and nobody else has did it. And it's a challenge by itself, because there's going to be people tell you, oh, you don't need to do it, you can't do it, just because other people haven't. So don't check out. Number 8 is press into relationship. It says, don't wait for a mentor to initiate. Learn how to manage up, persevere, ask for more of your mentor without demanding. This doesn't bother him. Or at least it shouldn't. If it does, you probably need to find you a new mentor. It says it honors him. It shouldn't be a big deal to ask this person to coffee or lunch outside of your normal meeting time. If a mentor can't be a friend, then he's probably not a mentor. Finding ways to solidify the bond you've created will only strengthen the relationship. I believe that one is just pretty much self-explanatory. Is kind of how we pick friends and how we pick people to date and things like that. If they kind of don't have the time for you, if they pretty much are just pushing you away, then you probably don't need to be in a relationship with them, number one. But number two, if it's happening while with your mentor, you probably don't need them as a mentor. So number 9 says, ask your mentor for feedback. Feedback can be hard, but it is good. As your relationship with your mentor progresses, this will be the number one way you grow. It will be a highlight for the both of you. While asking for feedback may initially feel weird, eventually it will become almost second nature. You will find yourself thirsting for those words you used to fear. You used to be afraid of him to tell you what he thinks, how you did, what you're doing, what you can do better. But now you want to know it because you're actually trying to grow. You're not just getting a mentor to add another friend to your list. You're getting a mentor to help you towards the things that you want to do, to kind of show you how to be that model, to set those examples, but also to be there when you're falling over, to say, nah, we're not going to do that. This is actually what you need to do. And you want their feedback. Like, why else would you want to be in this type of relation with them if they can't even tell you what they're thinking or how you're doing or how you're growing or how it's going to look or any things of that nature? Number 10 says, commit to the process. This one's a big one for me and for people who have followed the podcast that I've had before this one. You kind of know that I had to really, you know, tell myself, I got to commit to this thing. Even when I can't figure out how to make the sound clear, how to get more people on the podcast, how to make sure that I'm pushing it as much as I can, I still have to be able to commit and not just quit on the, you know, if it's two people who are listening, if it's three people who are listening, I can't just decide that in the middle of that, I'm going to be like, you know what? I'm done without even a warning. So it says commit to the process. You can't be mentored in a summer. That's an internship. Mentoring takes a real time and real work. In order for it to be a real mentorship, you have to commit to the relationship. Come hell or high water, you're going to make it work. Then you will begin to understand what it means to be a student, a disciple, and a prodigy. And they kind of end the article like that. So I hope that you took notes. If nothing else, you took them and just highlighted the 10 things that they said and kind of go back, you know, within your life with your mentor and figure out what, your mentor that you have right now is lacking from that, or what, you know, you may be able to use because you're actually looking for a mentor right now. I just think that it's all important. And it's kind of the reason why I kind of started this Be the Model whole thing, because I think it's important. I think that people that are in the hood who, you know, maybe in the workforce, they could be a teacher, might be a coach, or any of those things. I don't think they really realize that they model or are setting some kind of example, regardless if it's good or bad. I think they forget that. I think sometimes when people feel like they're not at the spot in their life that they should be, or they don't have the career that they dreamed of their whole life, that people just don't care and they're not looking at them. But one way or another, you're setting an example. Do something in the area where you are at to be the model. And so I'm about to launch some shirts, and I'm excited about them because they all kind of back up this whole thing that I have going on, and that is do something. It doesn't matter if be the model. Doesn't matter where you're at, pretty much. I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you are, if you're selling drugs. I don't care if you are the top CEO at one of the biggest firms ever. Somebody is looking at you. I'm not saying if you're selling drugs, sell more drugs so the kids can look at you. I'm saying if you're the biggest drug dealer on the corner and you see 10 kids across the street, you know that someone, one out of the 10, has their eyes on you and is watching what you do. And so they want to be like you at that moment. Don't pull out drugs. Don't switch hands, you know, and subdue something in your hood to be the model in that moment, so that kid decides, you know what, I want to do something different with my life. Or in that moment when that kid sees you, they don't know what you're doing in the first place, because you choose to set a good example so that you can be the model, so that when they look back 5 years from now, they can say, I seen him standing on the corner. I really didn't know what he was doing. Or maybe they're even at the age where they can say, I seen him standing on the corner. My family, my friends, or everybody said he was a drug dealer. But when I was around, I never seen that man do that. That sets a good example to them right there, letting them know that you want better for their life, which can push them to do better. So I'm excited, you guys, about about this podcast, excited about the people who are going to be on here to share their stories, especially the women. Men don't get mad. Of course, I have more of you right now on here than I have women, who I've recorded and put your episode out. But I just love my sisters, who are out and who are doing things or who have stories that they want to share. And so, y'all stay tuned. Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you leave reviews. Make sure you share this podcast on your Facebook, on your Instagram, on your Twitter, on your Snapchat. Just because that's how you be the model, okay? That's how you be the model today. Share it so that people have it, and that we all can grow together. Be on the lookout for the Be the Model t-shirts. I would love for you all to grab them. They're going to say be the model on the front, but on the back it's going to say do something in. So it's going to do something in your hood, do something in your church, do something at your job, do something where you're being the model. They're pretty dope design, I think. You may not like them, but nonetheless, even if you don't, share them so that people can get them, so we can kind of get this Be the Model thing out there. Listen, next week we'll be back to having guests on here. I'll be back to throwing questions at them and also learning myself. Make sure you keep you a little notebook. See, I'm tripping. Make sure you keep a little notebook around where you can jot down some of the stuff, because some of the gems that they drop, you never know when you're going to need them, or it may be that you need them in that moment and you want to use them later on in the day. So I don't mind you going back listening to the episode over and over again. But what I'm saying is, if you got that pen and you got that little piece of paper, or grab a bill that you know, like, I ain't trying to pay it this week, and you're going to rip it in half. I do it all the time. Right on the back of that. No, I'm kidding. But thank you guys for joining in today. Go and leave some reviews. And I'll talk to you guys next week.